Hey there, it's Antrice, and welcome to another episode of the Savvy Painter Podcast.
Today we're going to talk about the F word and why you should learn to love it. Don't worry if your kid's in the room, I'm talking about failure and our fear of it. What is failure? Google Dictionary says it's the neglect or omission of expected or required action. And Merriam-Webster says it is the neglecting to perform a duty or an expected action. When you fail, you did not get the expected result because you didn't do something. That's all it means. You just left something out. So all you have to do then is find the thing that you didn't do, try again, and you get your expected result. So why then does failure seem so scary? If it's just that we didn't do something, why do we make it mean such horrible, terrible, awful things? In this episode, we're going to take a look at how failure, or the fear of failure, shows up in our studio. We're going to talk about mistakes artists make when it comes to failure, and I'm going to give you some thoughts to practice so that you become more powerful in your studio and get a new perspective on how you can respond when things don't turn out quite the way that you hoped. This episode of the Savvy Painter Podcast is sponsored by Dr. P.H. Martin's Liquid Colors. Dr. P.H. Martin's makes handmade liquid color products in California, 6 gallons at a time. Their dye and pigment-based products let you experience a range of colors otherwise unattainable through products like Radiant Concentrated, Spectralight Liquid Acrylics, Hydrus Fine Art Watercolors, Iridescent Calligraphy Colors, and Bombay India Inks. And Dr. P.H. Martin's has a special offer just for Savvy Painter listeners. From now until October 31st, 2020, you can get all 4 sets of Radiant Concentrated for just $100. That is 56 colors in all for just $100. Go to DocMartens.com. Remember, that's DocMartens. Martens is spelled with an I. And use the promo code SAVVY100. You have until October 31st, 2020 to use promo code SAVVY100 at checkout to get all 4 sets of Radiance for just $100. I get a lot of emails from artists, and we talk about this in Growth Studio a lot. So I've pulled together some of the most common ways that artists experience failure. Things like when the painting doesn't turn out well, or when a painting doesn't even get started. It's what I call failing ahead of time, deciding that it's not going to work anyway, so I'm not going to even try, whether that's conscious or unconscious. Another way that artists have told me that they experience failure is by constantly switching gears and never finishing anything. So we've got 2 sides of that same coin, not even getting started and not finishing anything. And then there's some of the ways that I've noticed that artists sabotage their own growth, with thoughts that turn your sanctuary into a torture chamber, by taking or not taking seemingly insignificant actions. This is how we self-sabotage, and we talked about that and getting in your own way in the last episode, but it is a big one. These are the tiny, tiny decisions that you make every day while you're in your studio that add up to self-sabotage, like deciding to check your email, not turning your phone off, like all these little things that we think are only going to take 2 seconds. They end up completely distracting us and pushing us into that zone where we're not getting the things done that we want to get done. Another way that I've noticed that artists sabotage their own growth is when they abdicate their own responsibilities. So they act as if things that happen in the studio are happening to them. It's almost like they have no responsibility or any ability to affect what goes on in there. And here's the biggest one. Making the results that we get mean something negative or painful, something that hurts. So for example, not getting the color right and making that mean that you can't understand color. Here's what's interesting. If you break that down, when you don't get a color right, if you break that down to the essence of what it actually is and you take out all the emotion, it's simply a matter of choosing a different color from your palette and then creating a different pile of paint. That's literally all it is. And yet we tend to make it mean so much more. We make it mean that we can never learn. We make it mean that we don't deserve to be called an artist. There's a huge, long list, miles long probably, of all the things that we make it mean. That brings us to some of the mistakes that artists, and humans make when it comes to failure. Giving the result that you get a negative meaning is by far one of the biggest things that I see. It is so common. Everybody does it, and it's almost unconsciously done. We didn't get the result we wanted, so we decide it means something horrible and awful and that we're just no good. So here are some of the negative meanings that we give when something doesn't turn out in our studio the way that we want it to. These are some of my own and some of yours, and they overlap. I get so many emails, and when I get this, I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what that person is talking about. I did that. And while you're listening to these, I want you to do me a favor and tell me if any of these resonate with you. Okay, here we go. I'm not talented. I'm never going to learn this. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm incapable of seeing color. I'm somehow inadequate. I'm not able to learn. I'm a terrible artist. And then sometimes people even spiral down into, I'm a terrible person. They throw in all these other things, like they've been getting so much support from their family. They have these opportunities and yet they don't take advantage of them. They don't go into the studio often enough. All of that makes them a terrible person. But when we make it mean something terrible and awful, here's the thing. Of course, our natural survival instinct is going to kick in. So we go into self-preservation mode. And what does that mean? What does that actually look like? It means that we do things like try to prevent failures from happening at all. Our brain thinks this is terrible. This is horrible. Danger, danger. I need to stop this right now. So we do these things to protect ourselves from ever experiencing that. We try to prevent it from happening. We try to soften it. And then since we're so creative and our mind is so bent on keeping us alive, on helping us to survive, we invent the most amazing ways to protect ourselves from this horrible, awful, tragic thing that we call failing. And before we get into all these ways, I want to make one thing very clear. If this is something that you do, there is nothing wrong with you. We've been taught to do this, and it sort of comes naturally. But becoming aware of it when it's happening, becoming aware of the thoughts that you have that create these scenarios is so powerful. So let's take a look at them. We think things like, my work's not good enough, so I'm not even going to show it to anybody. Or we think competitions suck, all of them, and I refuse to enter any. Or here's a sneaky one, I'm just not ready. Now here's the thing, I know what some of you are thinking right now. When you heard me say, I'm just not ready, you thought, but it's true, my work's not ready yet, I'm not ready yet. And I bet you could diligently list out all of the reasons. You could make a list in that little notebook that you keep by the computer just for jotting these things down. Yeah, I see you. We're going to circle back to that in a minute when we talk about confirmation bias, but let's just keep going with all the ways that we like to avoid even the slightest chance of failure. So here are some of the things that we do. We lower our own bar. We think things like, that's too big, it's too hard, I'm going to lower the bar because it's too high for me to reach. We fail ahead of time. We're so convinced that we're going to fail that we skip the trying part and go straight to the failure. We don't even bother to submit the work to the gallery. We don't even give them the opportunity to accept the work. We just go ahead and we reject it for them ahead of time. I mean, we might as well because it's going to happen anyway. We decide the painting isn't going to work, so we don't bother to finish it. We don't follow through on the series that we got so excited about. We procrastinate. This is a sneakier way to fail ahead of time, but we kind of just pretend that something else is more important, that we're going to do it later. We pretend that it'll be easier to create tomorrow. Like tomorrow, my painting day is going to be so much better. I'm going to be in the mood and I don't want to force it. I'm just going to wait for the muse to show up. Or we decide there's too much going on. I couldn't possibly start researching what gallery I want to submit my work to. Or COVID, come on, there's no way I can do anything right now because of COVID. We come up with all these ways to just delay, 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 delay. Another trick that we like to play on ourselves is the all or nothing thinking. This is so good. We think things like, I said I was going to paint 5 times a week, but I only painted twice. So that's a total failure. I'm such an idiot. I finally had a show. I really wanted to sell 10 paintings, but I only sold 6. So that show was a total failure. Or Etsy doesn't work. I only made $200 last month. Or I only have 500 followers on Instagram, so Instagram just doesn't work for me. Finally, what I think is the most damaging mistake we tend to make when it comes to failure is we decide to make it mean something that hurts. We decide that failing is a negative thing and a very, very painful thing. So here are some thoughts that I want you to practice. Failure is not a direct measure of self-worth. There's nothing wrong. I just didn't get the expected result. So when something doesn't turn out the way that you wanted to, instead of thinking I am a failure or that was terrible, just think, there's nothing wrong. I just didn't get the expected result. What could I try next in this experiment? Or here's another thought that I think is really powerful. Success is acquired by failure and by being willing to fail. So if you want to learn to paint faster, be willing to double the rate of your failed paintings. Use your failures as an opportunity to love yourself more instead of loving yourself less. That's how you stop beating yourself up. That's how you get out of your own way, like we talked about two episodes ago. You can make failure mean something that hurts, or you can decide to make it mean something empowering. A lot of artists think that they have to do everything perfectly. But listen, perfectionism is freaking exhausting. I mean, intellectually, we all know that we're going to fail sometimes, but for some reason, we think it shouldn't happen. We think there's something wrong with us when we fail. So remember what failure actually means. It's the neglect or omission of an expected or required action. So there's nothing wrong. It's just a little omission. Instead of making it mean all these terrible, awful things, I want to suggest that you just get curious about what action was omitted, because it doesn't mean that you're an idiot who can never do anything right. I looked it up. Merriam-Webster says nothing about you being a terrible painter and human being because your proportions are off. And Cambridge Dictionary doesn't mention anything about your potential painting abilities after a gallery turns you down. Look, we don't have a recipe card in front of us that says, here's how to paint that thing in that style. And here are the exact steps to expressing it using your unique voice. And by the way, follow these perfectly and you will be in that gallery that you've always dreamed of. That recipe card does not exist. And I know that intellectually, we all know that there's no such thing as a crystal ball that shows us all the steps we need to take to get what we want. But what we do have are these amazing gifts. We have our intellect and we have our curiosity. So what if our failures are not the signal that we should start beating ourselves up? What if our failures are simply the exact clues that we need at that moment to show us what our next step is to learning what to do in order to succeed? This episode of the Savvy Painter Podcast is sponsored by Dr. P.H. Martins.
Dr. P.H. Martins was founded in 1934 in New York City. We're a third generation family business.
That's Aaron Salas.
My name is Aaron Salas, and I run Dr. P.H. Martins. We make handmade liquid color products here in California, 6 gallons at a time.
His great-grandfather worked at P.H. Martins in the early 1930s.
My great-grandfather, Benjamin Salas, worked there. At the time, it was owned by the B. Arenstein family and kind of a different generation of companies in downtown New York. He eventually came to own the company and developed several product lines and ran and managed what was a very, very small company from the late 30s all the way up until 1970 when my father, Larry, took over the business. I think I'd been involved in the business ever since I was probably about 8 years old. Me and have a younger brother. We would go in with my father and fight over who was going to get to play with the labeling machine. So when I say it's a family business, it really is just that. But when my father took over the business in the 1970s, he really expanded the product range into a lot of different kinds of products, pigment-based color, light body, soft body acrylics, different kinds of inks. We just focus on non-toxic, water-based liquid color products.
Aaron has put together a special offer just for Savvy Painter listeners. From now until October 31st, 2020, you can get all 4 sets of Radiant Concentrated for just $100. That is 56 colors in all for just $100. All you have to do is go to DocMartins.com. and use the promo code SAVVY100, S-A-V-V-Y, the numbers 100.
You have until October 31st, 2020 to get all four sets of Radiant Concentrated for just $100. And of course, I will post links to this in the show notes for this episode. Oh, wait, and one more thing. I got to mention this because I'm in Argentina, so shipping, guys, especially if you're international, it matters. So in the United States, Aaron is giving free shipping if it's in the United States, and then he has set up special rates for different regions in the rest of the world. So he has got us taken care of, and I love that. I super appreciate when companies like Doc Martens take that extra step to take care of us. Artists come to me and they say, tell me everything. I want to know every single step of the way in advance so that I won't make any mistakes. It just doesn't work that way. You know that, but you still fight it. So I want you to do me a favor. Take a second to think about a failure or an experience that you've recently had that didn't turn out the way that you hoped. Something that didn't meet your expectations. You did not get the results that you wanted. Now, I want you to visualize a crappy response. Listen to all the mean things that you say to yourself while you beat yourself up for not getting good results. Visualize yourself quitting or slowly convincing yourself that you didn't want it anyway. Take a minute to do that. Now, because we're artists and contrast is so important to our work, I want you to do this. Now I want you to have a second visualization. I want you to visualize the experience that you had. But this time, I want you to see it as that necessary next step. It's not only necessary, it's expected. It's something that you couldn't move forward without experiencing that failure. You were always meant to experience it so that you could take the next step to learn how to succeed. Now I want you to compare the feelings that you have with each visualization. And which feeling is more useful? Which feeling allows you to confidently take the next best step forward? Which feeling empowers you? You've probably heard the Native American fable of the two wolves, right? A Native American grandfather was speaking to his grandson about violence and cruelty in the world and how it comes about. He said it's as if there are two wolves that are fighting in his heart. One wolf was vengeful and angry, and the other wolf was understanding and kind. So the boy asks his grandfather which wolf wins the fight in his heart. And the grandfather answers, "The one that wins will be the one that I choose to feed." So feed the wolf that is understanding and kind. Beating yourself up never works. It has no upside. That is rule number one in Growth Studio. When you have the choice between loving yourself more and loving yourself less, choose to love yourself more. You are 100% worthy of it. So when you decide that failure is not only expected, but welcome, you will show up differently in the studio, right? Instead of showing up worried and anxious, you'll show up ready for anything. That is a much more powerful place to create from, right? Every time you choose to welcome failure as expected and necessary to your growth and success, you are training yourself to be a confident painter. And that's one of the things that I hear so much from people is, how can I be a more confident painter? I'm not sure of myself. I don't know what I'm doing. That's how you get there. And that's how you succeed as a painter. That's how you get out of your own way. And that is how you beat your fear of failure. You learn to create from a place of empowerment, a place of knowing that you can handle anything that happens in your studio. It comes from knowing that you have your own back. I've been thinking a lot lately about all or nothing thinking, and I think it's rooted in perfectionism. The thing about perfectionism is that a lot of us are taught to expect nothing less. That's how we get good grades in school. It's black or white. There's no room for the beautiful tones of gray. Perfectionism hides behind the idea of excellence and convinces you that anything less is a failure. Perfectionism is exhausting because you can never, ever reach it. I think as artists, we are particularly susceptible to this. And we have this idea that all of our work must be great. We have to produce masterpiece after masterpiece after masterpiece, or we're just not good painters. But that is just not true. You're allowed to create crappy paintings. In fact, I think creating crappy paintings is the only way to create your masterpiece. When you're learning and you're pushing your boundaries, when you're experimenting with a new idea, a new technique, or a new concept, your first attempt is not going to be perfect. That's because you're figuring out what works and what doesn't. That's the only way you can do it, is by painting your way through.
You're developing the visual muscles to create your vision. So have you ever heard this example of failure? When people talk about learning from failures, they often use the example of a baby learning how to walk. It's a really good one because babies don't give up. They don't take it personally when they fall. And no one, at least I hope no one, tells a baby after their first attempt that they'll never be a good walker. But there's another part to this. By falling down and getting back up repeatedly, that baby is strengthening all the little muscles that she needs to stand and balance. As she tumbles over in different ways and lands in different positions, she's using different muscles to push herself back up. Pay attention to this because this is so important. She can't learn to walk if she doesn't fall. Those falls are necessary, and to those of us who've ever watched a baby learn how to walk, they're not only cute, but they're expected. Another example people use when we talk about failure is Thomas Edison. You've probably heard that quote, "I have not failed 10,000 times. I've not failed once. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work," or something like that. Try to Google it. You'll get 30,000 versions of it. That quote is used to inspire us to take risks and to persevere, to never quit. But what gets lost in the translation, though, is that Edison analyzed his results each time. So whether it was 10,000 or 1,000, pick your number, Edison was a scientist. He didn't simply add another notch to his failure count and expect different results, or expect that he was entitled to results because he tried so many times. He meticulously reviewed the results and adjusted. He looked at the expected results against his actions, and he tweaked the process. So here's how you get to excellence. Making mistakes or failing is nothing more than evidence that you took action, that you tried. And that is step one, taking action. You have to act. Step two is choosing to look at negative results objectively as simple data. There's no emotion in it. If the results are positive, do more of that. If the results are negative, get curious, discover why, and adjust your methods for the next time. Step three is making those adjustments and taking action again. Wash, rinse, repeat. While you're doing that, just like the baby learning how to walk, you are building the tiny overlooked muscles that give you the essential support for success. Making mistakes alone won't make you an excellent painter, but making mistakes and discovering why you didn't get the expected result will. And it's so much easier without the drama of beating yourself up. It's not enough to just think positively. You have to take massive action, and that means taking repeated action regardless of the results. Over time, that leads to success if you don't forget about that crucial step of analyzing and adjusting. So this works in your paintings. It works for entering competitions. It works for submitting to a gallery. It works for everything. I had a great conversation last week with some of my growth students in office hours about this. Mia has been learning how to play golf, and we all decided that all the mental skills that we use in front of the canvas make you better at golf. And all the mental skills that you use when you're on the golf course make you a better painter. It was a really fun conversation. We talked about how starting your swing in a golf from a place of frustration practically guarantees a bad shot. See, beating yourself up never works. That's rule number one, people. When you beat yourself up, you just end up feeling like crap. Think about this. How does creating something work out for you when you start from a place of inadequacy and fear? Now contrast that with this. How does creating something work out for you when you start from a place of abundance and love? Think about that for a second and really, really picture it. You get a totally different result, right? It's so different creating something from a place of abundance and love. I think that's the only place that you can create great art from. So you have to put yourself in that place. In the last Office Hours episode, I talked about getting out of your own way, and I wanted to add to that idea. This is something I talk about in Growth Studio often, but when we believe something, we consciously or unconsciously look for confirmation that what we believe is true. That's called confirmation bias. And this is the last thing that I want to talk about in this episode, because I think confirmation bias can be incredibly destructive, or it can be incredibly powerful. When you learn to harness it, it becomes a superpower. When you have the thought that you're going to fail and you give failure a meaning that hurts, your brain starts to look for all of the evidence to prove that you are right. I bet some of you are even doing it right now. You might have been listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, she's right. And then you started collecting all the evidence in your own experience to support your belief that I am right. Or maybe you were thinking, this is all a bunch of BS. It doesn't work that way. And so your brain started making a list of all the reasons that contradict my idea. You came up with all the reasons that what I've been telling you is completely wrong. But guess what? Either way, you are proving my point. How freaky is that, right? If you think failure is proof that you're a terrible painter, you will unconsciously or unconsciously find evidence to support that thought. And with all the evidence that your brain presents, you solidify your belief. But if you think that failure is simply data to be analyzed, that it's expected and necessary part of your growth as an artist, that failure is proof that you are courageous and that you are living your own truth, your brain is going to start seeking out and finding the most amazing evidence to prove that you're right. So be aware of what your thoughts are. Use your cognitive bias to your advantage. It is super powerful, especially when it comes to painting. Consider this. Instead of thinking about all the ways that you failed in the past or all the reasons that big painting project you've been thinking about for so long isn't going to work, which invites your brain to find all of the evidence that it won't work or that you're a disaster, instead, try looking for all the reasons why that painting project would work. It resets your brain to, instead of looking at all the awful, horrible things, making lists and desperately adding failure after failure, what if instead you trained your mind to look for possibilities? Instead of comparing yourself to another artist on Instagram and inventing reasons why you're not as good, as worthy, as capable, as organized, as together, as well-liked, or whatever measuring stick you like to beat yourself with, what if you looked at the artist with curiosity and wonder instead? Try it. Let me know how it works. And if you like these conversations, I want you to know that I am getting ready to open Growth Studio again. I have been making lots of upgrades and I have some exciting things coming up and we are so close. So get on my email list if that's something that you want to know more about. I am so excited for what's coming up. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Savvy Painter podcast. And if you did, and you have a friend who might benefit from this conversation about failure, please pass this episode along.